So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of Jabez. Some of y'all looking in your Bible for it. It ain't in there. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. That's going to be talking about Jabez. I want to talk to you on the subject today, from bitterness to sweet. And I promise by the end of the service, I'm going to get sweet. From bitterness to sweet. Now, Pastor, why are you preaching this? I started to get a Hershey's cocoa background. How many know what I'm talking about? Because just by itself, for me, it ain't sweet. You're going to have to add some stuff to it. But I didn't do that because I didn't think everybody would get that. Because from bitterness to sweet. But here's what I do know about holidays. That holidays can be bitter for some people. For some, it's the first time without your loved one. For some, might be a reminder of a divorce or a breakup. Might be a reminder of estranged kids. Not strange kids, but those two, but estranged kids. Whatever the case might be, sometimes it can be bitter. And sometimes the things that you go through or have been through, you have yet to get over. So I want to start out this Christmas season going from bitterness to sweet. Then the next two or three Sundays we'll cover Come Home for Christmas. In the book, well, Pastor, how can you get from bitterness to sweet out of Jabez? Well, here's what it says. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Father, bless the reading of your word. Lord, give us not just information, but help it to be inspiration that causes a transformation by the revelation of your word. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. There are people who start off in life with quite a bitter hand that has dealt with them just because of life. Some of us were born on the wrong side of the tracks. Some were born on the tracks. Come on, somebody. Some were born with some not so wonderful circumstances. I know people who are the victim. They are the result of a rape. They are the result of abuse. Whatever the case may be, I know people in so many different scenarios that I could call their names or talk about their situation. But everybody understands when I say that some people just don't start off with a great life, with a great hand that has dealt with them. I like what one guy said. He goes, it's not the hand that you're dealt, it's how you play the hand that you were dealt. I believe that he was a poker player, but anyway, it's still the truth. Because we cannot help what has happened to us or what has happened around us, but we can function and we can determine what's going to happen from now on. It doesn't mean that just because you were born in adverse circumstances that you've got to stay that way the rest of your life, that you have to live that way the rest of your life. Somebody needs to go ahead early on in this message and go ahead and decide that no matter how I was raised, no matter how I was born, I don't have to stay the same way that I am. The God that I serve is not only the God of a second chance, he's the God of a third and a fourth chance, and he knows how to turn your mess into a message. He knows how to turn your life life into a destiny because he has purpose in your life. Jabez was just one who was born under adverse circumstances. And to me, it's interesting that Jabez's mother put a label on him based on what she was going through. She labeled him based on what she was going through. There are so many of us who we've had a hard hand based on what our parents went through, or based on what our spouse went through, or based on what our teachers or our boss went through. How many understand when you're the boss, if you have a bad day, most of the people in your company have a bad day, you know? And I recognize that sometimes, you know, we have a staff here and people work here, and sometimes my wife says, you don't need to be around anybody today. And I say, yo mama, because that's the way, that's my go-to, you know, that's my age, yo mama. But what I'm saying is there are times with, if you have you are a victim of circumstance. The pain that she was going through, she now imposes on her child because of what she is going through. And can I tell you that this is so much, we could talk about psychoanalyzing people, but this is so much the cause of the issue in so many people's lives, that because of what somebody who they loved are going through, that they label you or they abuse you or they do something that causes you pain. The pain that she was going through, she imposed on her child. It's sad that a mother who is experiencing pain in childbirth names her child after her experience. She names her child after her experience. She called his name Jabez, which means he who causes pain. Now, isn't it something for a mother to, I understand to call your child that, but to name your child pain in the neck. Come here, pain in the neck. You pain in the neck, let me tell you. That's what she called him, basically, pain in the neck in our day-to-day, in our, this day vernacular. It'd be your pain in the neck. Come here, pain in the neck. Wouldn't you get tired of hearing that? Come here, you little pain. I've got some friends of mine, and they call their child, here comes the little monster. I go, oh, no, 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 no. I sound like my daddy just then. No, 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 no. Like a car trying to crank up. No, 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 no. But it's all because of the pain that she was experiencing. And it gives us lesson here that you don't want to end up imposing on the lives of your children and those whom you love the negative experiences that you've gone through. You do not want to cause your children pain or to give them a label that they cause pain when they didn't have anything to do. Matter of fact, most parents want to skip in their kids the pain in which they had to endure. That's why we say, I don't want my children to never go through this. That's why I took the good parts about my child rear or my upbringing and tried to emulate those, but then the bad areas of my upbringing, I tried to change those, and I'm sure that when my children have children, they will begin to take the good parts about my child rearing and the bad parts and try to improve on those. But many times, you don't get some things resolved, or if you don't get some things resolved, you will carry over to your children and imprint or impose what you've been through on them. And that's not what we want to do. If you're not careful, you will come into a marriage and impose or imprint on your spouse the things that you've been through. If you've been abused by a person, you come in with your guard up and your walls up and ready for a fight. Come on, somebody. If you've been cheated on, you come into your new marriage with that emphasis on I can't trust. But so here's what I'm trying to get you to understand today, that if you don't get healed of pain, you will pass it on to your children. But how many understand that God, you don't have to end up where you started? Point number one, if you're taking notes, is this. Jabez was a good child with a bad label. He was a good child with a bad label. And how many have ever given a bad label? Some, you just like your mama. And that's usually not a good thing. You just like your daddy. You act just like your, usually it's not a good thing. Now sometimes it is, sometimes, but rarely it, when they go, oh, you a scoundrel like your daddy, whatever the case is. Listen, it's a dangerous thing to label your children or to label anybody after your own experience. You have to realize that the words of a father and the words of a mother, the words of a guardian, a grandparent, have power and carry weight. So that's why you need to be careful what you speak over your children and grandchildren and what you speak over your spouse. Because the character, my God, the character of a son is formed in the breath of his father. Can I tell you why we have a problem in the U.S.? Is because we don't have enough fathers speaking into their sons and their daughters and forming their character by what they breathe and what they say over them. In Genesis chapter 35, verses 17 through 18, Jacob, we have another mother who is about to impose her pain on her child. We have Jacob heard his wife Rachel when she was bearing another child. In verse 17, here's what it said. Now it came to pass when she, which was Rachel, was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also." And so it was, as her soul was departing, she was dying during childbirth, that she called his name Benoni, but her father called him Benjamin. Now here's what happened. We have another mother who's imposing a painful and negative experience on her child by naming him Benoni. She was dying and she told the midwife, I will call his name Benoni. First of all, if you call your name, your children Benoni, no wonder you're causing some pain right there. But Benoni means this. It means the son of my sorrow or the son of my pain. So she's leaving this life and she's labeling her child as a son of sorrow or a son of pain. Again, causing pain. She again is imposing her issue, imposing what she's going through, imposing her experience onto her son. She was naming him Pain of sorrow because of what she herself was in. But Jacob was there and overheard her naming his child Pain. And he said, no, I don't think so. Not on my watch. His name shall be called Benjamin, which is the son of my right hand. Listen to me, church. That's why it's so important what you speak over your children. Here she was going to call him Pain, but thank God for a dad and thank God for a good parent that were, no, we're not naming that child Pain. He's going to be the son of my right hand. He's not going to be the son of my sorrow. I'm not, when I look at Benjamin, I'm not going to look back and think he's the one that killed mama. I'm not going to think about him killing Rachel. I'm not going to think about that. No, I want to look at him as the son of my right hand. I've come by to tell somebody that you've been looking at an event. You've been looking at something or someone and it keeps causing you pain, but it's a good time. It's a good day to start from going from bitter to sweet. It's a good time to say, no, I'm not going to allow what I've been through to be my label. I'm not going to happen because of what I've been through to cause me to look at life through a crushed or a veered view of what life is. So pain, he said, pain will not be labeled on this child. That's why it's so important to parent together. Hear me. Thank God for single dads and single moms. Thank God that you're taking the bull by the horn, so to speak, and thank God that you're doing what needs to be done. But that's why it's so important, mom and dad. Oh, the kids are resilient. Yes, they are. But honey, can I tell you that they are being affected by what you say? You may say, I know, Pastor, because I'm a product of that. I've come by to tell you that just because mama or daddy put divorce over your name, just because mama or daddy put abuse over your name, just because mama or daddy or auntie and uncle put some kind of curse on your name, you have the power to reverse the curse in the name of Jesus. Listen, that's why it's so important, because when one parent gets frustrated, there is another who can take over and say, no, let's not demean him. No, let's not cut them down. Let's encourage them and build them up. Jacob, because of his words, canceled the curse, cancels the label over his child by speaking. Oh, power. Pastor, that's not a big deal. Oh, there is life and death are in the power of the tongue. Quit saying what everybody says you are and start saying what God says you are. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's a blessing that what starts out bitter can become sweet. Woo! Excuse me. I just know some things that I've been through and went through in my life that was bitter then, but I'm on the other side and it's sweet now. Glory to God. Thank God you don't have to end up where you started. Look at somebody, tell them, you ain't got to end up there. It doesn't matter what people said about you. You ain't got to end up there. How many of us have heard stories about daddy or granddaddy that used to beat grandma and used to beat daddy or whatever the case is? They were abusive, but that's not who you know. All you know is this sweet, old. I'm about to be a grandpa. My daughter's marrying a boy who already has a child, so they're calling me Papa Wani right now. So I'm about to be a granddaddy, but I ain't gonna say old. Very young. But what I'm saying is you don't have to be what they labeled you. But how many of you have heard of, my mama used to beat daddy. Come on, somebody. That's the way to be in my house. Mama used to beat daddy. But now all you know them as sweet. Because once was bitter, was sweet. How many, don't listen. Every married couple, keep your eyes straight up here right now. How many of you went through marriage and your first year of marriage, you almost killed one another? But now it's gotten sweet and it's gotten better. And boy, it started out bitter. It started out like, ooh, when I said I do, I didn't know what I did. I wish I didn't do what I did. But now here you are. And now you're 20 years into it. And you're 30 years into it. Now you're 50 years into it. And you're so thankful for the sweetness that started out bitter. How many people sitting around you now that it's hard to view them how they used to be? I look at Gypsy, who, used to be a drunk. He's told me stories and who now is helping people stay sober. Been sober now how long? 33 days? Years. Woo, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 33 years. Come on, I'm just messing with you. I remember the first time I met Gypsy a few years ago. And now to remember him then and to know him now, I don't even remember the guy he used to be. Why? Because what started out bitter has become sweet. I've got news for you that what you started out, you could have been mean, ugly, and disgusting. But now you can wake up today and be somebody sweetful, fruitful, and multiply what God is and has done in your life. You see, it's wonderful to know that the times, the more sorrow sometimes the experience can wind up being the most rewarding of the outcomes. A terrible storm can give way to a beautiful sunset. There is hope. What starts out bitter can end up sweet. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As a matter of fact, if you didn't know sorrow, you wouldn't be able to appreciate joy. Did you hear that? If you didn't know sorrow, you would not understand joy. You wouldn't be able to appreciate. One helps the other out. One helps you understand the other. If all you knew, I know some of you thinking, well, Pastor, all I know is sorrow. Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment. You got to change your perspective. But can I tell you that if you don't know sorrow, then you won't understand joy. You see, I'm not talking about happiness, because happiness comes from the word happens, which takes place. Whatever happens to you determines how you feel. I'm talking about joy. And joy said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I have Jesus in my life and in my heart, then I can have joy even though I'm going through a storm. Be careful how you talk to your children, because it becomes their inner voice. How many of us have heard how How many of us have remembered you've done something or you've heard the voice of your mom, the voice of your dad as you was doing something? It becomes the inner voice. They start hearing a voice in their head saying what we've said concerning them. And you place the label on them, and the label can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's why you got to be careful. Well, here comes the little monster. Somebody needs to pop you in the pipe. Quit prophesying over that your child. That's what I love about Jabez. Even though Jabez lived with a negative label on his life, yet he chose to rise above the label. Ah, hear me, somebody. Rise above the label that somebody's tried to put on you. Rise above that label. Well, Pastor, how do I rise above it? I'm so glad you asked. Because if you didn't ask, I wouldn't be able to go to point number two. And point number two is this. Change your focus. Change your focus. Well, Pastor, it's hard. No, duh. Because our flesh wants to focus on what has been done to us and who did it and who's at blame. But I choose to change my focus. When you change your focus, you will change your feelings. When you change your focus, you will change your feelings. If you focus on the terrible things or the things that have happened to you, you'll start feeling sad. Focus on people that owe you money. You'll get mad. Come on, somebody. You loan somebody $20. You come to church and you see them. You can't even worship. You're singing, the Lord is plenty. You scoot over, where is my 20? Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Focus determines feelings. And if you don't like how you're feeling, then change your focus. And that may have to happen 100 times a day. One guy said maybe 10,000. Whatever it takes, baby. But if you don't like the way you're feeling, change your focus. Change what you're focusing on. You know what? Listen. I've got a video in my phone of my future of little Desmond, which is my future son-in-law's son, who's come into our lives, and I've got a video of him at my wife's birthday when they decided to what they were going to call me. And he looks at me and says, I love you, Papa Wani. And when I've been going through some hard times, I would just take that video out and focus on it. Somebody hear me. You focus on what's good. You focus on something that brings you joy. If you don't like how you're feeling, change your focus. I'm going to say it again because I got you to hear. I need you to hear this. If you don't like the way you're feeling, change your focus. Change your focus. When you are saved, God teaches us to look at things through His eyes. Ask God to let you see the world the way He sees it. If I look through the eyes of CNN or CNN or HMN or any other N or CBS or any, even Fox, I'm going to get depressed. You watch Fox long enough, you won't come out of the house. If you watch CNN, you think ain't nobody saved. But I've come by to tell you that you can't watch all that stuff. You got to circumvent some of that junk. And because all they're getting ratings, they want you to sit there in your easy chair being worried about the world collapsing. But God said, you shall have tribulation in this life, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. My peace I leave with you, not the peace of this world, but His peace. Ah, glory to God. You listen, you got to understand that God wants you to see things through Him. The problem, we try to convince God to look at things through our eyes. Because we want Him to punish people who did us wrong. Oh, I can't get no help. It's all right. I'm going to preach anyway. But here's the issue. Here's an issue. What's my next one, Mike? Do I have this one? I hope I do. All right, every promise God gives us is usually around overcoming a problem. Now, when you run from a problem, man, I should have put this up there too. When you run from a problem, you're actually running from the promise. Woo! Excuse me, while I have myself church. When you run from a problem, you're usually running from the promise. Because the promise is usually given to overcome a problem. Glory to God. When you run from the battle, you're also running from the blessing. The blessing is in the battle. Thank God that Jacob didn't run when he wrestled with the angel all night. But he stayed in the fight. And in the end of the fight, God blessed him. Thank God that you didn't run from the fight. Thank God that you didn't give up when everybody else told you you should have gave up. Thank God that Job didn't give up when his wife said, just curse God and die. But then God brought him not only through, but gave him double for his trouble. Thank God. Listen, you got to understand that God is not trying to destroy you. He's trying to develop you. A label may describe you, but an identity defines you. So who are you? See, the wonderful thing about Jabez is that he didn't get his identity from the label his mother put on him. I didn't get my label. You ever been home? I wasn't able to go home for Thanksgiving. It's just too far. But they sent me pictures, and all my siblings were there. All my living siblings were there and their families, except for myself. So there was a big group of them there. But sometimes, I'm not sure if I'll say this in the 11 o'clock service, we'll be broadcasting. But sometimes I get around my family and think, I am adopted. Surely to God, I cannot be kin to these people. How many know what I'm talking about? I want to go, what planet did you come from? Surely you got to be from West Virginia. Surely to God, you got to be from Louisiana or Arkansas or something. You cannot be from the loins of my daddy. Because sometimes I cannot be whatever label that they put on me. I'm going to be who God's called me to be. Which brings me to point number three. Where did you get your identity? Have I been preaching for 30 minutes already? I got two more points. Lord Jesus, I got to hurry. All right. Where did you get your identity? You are, oh Jesus. Where did you get your identity? Let me help some of you Christians. Because sometimes we get condemnation. You are not what you last did. You are not what you did. You are not your last sin. You are not what you last did. I don't know if that's good English or not, but you're getting the point. You are not what you last did. Don't ever get your identity from your last sin. Don't ever get your identity from your last mistake. But here's the issue. Whenever you live closer to the world than you do to God, you can easily have your identity confused. Because God only knows your true identity. When you don't know your identity, when you think you're a hammer, you just hit stuff. How many's ever used a screwdriver as a chisel? All right, I got one for everybody. How many's ever used a butter knife as a screwdriver? Did it get the job done? Yes, it did. However, you keep using that butter knife for a screwdriver, it will not be good for butter use anymore. It will not be used properly. Somebody hear me. And the problem with the world today is we have been used and we've been told that we are something whom we're not. And we get used by doing things that God did not call us to do. We have been labeled, and what I'm trying to say is we've been abused, and then now you don't even know if you're a screwdriver or a butter knife. So what do? You go back to the manufacturer. You go back to the warranty. Trust me, if you use a TV as a hammer, the warranty is null and void. You go back to the manufacturer and figure out what it's supposed to be used for. I've had my car for 2 years. I was driving the other day and my hands started getting hot. I was like, what the heck? Like, oh my God. My car is mechanically overheating or something. It's coming through the stinking steering wheel. Oh my God. This is ridiculous. Oh my God, it has shorted. There's a wire loose somewhere. It was. It's just in my brain. Because as I begin to look, I go, well, I've never seen that light before. And I pushed it, and it's warmer for my steering wheel. I've had it for 2 years. Didn't know I had that. Now, what I could have done is took it to the shop. What I could have done is start hitting it. You stupid car. But are you listening to me? When you live close enough to the world, or closer to the world than you do from God, then you get your identity confused. Only God knows your true identity. Quit asking everybody who you are and ask God. Because I can tell you that He made you and only He can identify you. When you walk with the Father, you get a revelation of who you are that is unveiled as you walk with Him. Please, please, I do not have enough room in my email. Do not email asking me your true identity. Don't ask me what has God called me to do. I don't know. I'm not Him. But when you are designed, see, here's the problem. If you've got an eagle being raised by a bunch of chickens, the eagle walks around like the chickens, pecking in the dirt, not realizing that he could spread his broad wings and fly around the yard instead of just walking around the yard. You got to be careful who you listening to. If you listen to just people, you might not ever do what God's really called you to do. You might not ever believe or think the way that God has really called you to believe. See, statistics say that you are the average of the 5 closest people to you. Did you hear that? You're the average of the 5 closest people to you. And if God is not one of those closest people, if God is not one of those closest people to you, then there's going to be an issue. You're not going to know who you are. You're not going to be who God called you to be. If all your friends are sinners, hear me. If all your friends are sinners, you can so easily become confused because you take on the identity of the people who are in your atmosphere. Now, well, Pastor, that's why all my friends are Christians. Well, you need to get outside your box and get some sinner friends. Huh? Where do you think I get most of my material? From the Christians I hang around. That's where. But we need to have people outside of that, right? So your identity, God, I got to hurry. Your identity is wrapped up in your purpose. People lose their way, or people lose their way when they lose their why. Y'all are going to get that about supper time. Everybody was born for purpose. When you don't know your purpose, your abuse is inevitable. Just like the butter knife and the screwdriver. Point number 4 then. Pastor, what do? When your identity has been established by somebody else's negative experience. Now this is where the rubber meets the road. Right? What do? What do you do when your identity has been established by somebody else's negative experience? I'm going to give you 3 things. Number 1, are you ready? Resolve. Resolve you will not be a product of your environment, but a product of your decisions. I can't help what happens around me. I can't help it, what I was born in. I can't help it, what I was raised in. But I can help my decision. And I choose to make a decision. Well, Pastor, I got some stinking thinking. That's why the Word of God is here. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of the living God. Resolve. Make a resolve. Not your label, but your decisions. Your decisions determine your character, your conduct, and your destiny. You can't help the way you came into this world, but you can decide by your decision how you're going to leave it. What do you do when mama calls you pain? What does you do when God called when mama called Jabez pain in the neck? Every time they called and they reminded him that you're a pain. But Jabez might have started off with this label, but he didn't stay there. So here's why. Oh, Jesus. You don't learn from experience. You learn from reflecting on experience. That's why you got so many old fools. Right? You don't learn just by experience. Well, you went out and got drunk last night. I ain't ever going to do that again. And you go out and do it again. I'm not going to get high. That's not good for my family. I spent money I didn't have. I'm not going to do that again. Well, you don't learn just by past experiences. You learn from reflecting on experiences. That's why old fools keep going around the same old mountain. People have the same old marital trouble, the same old financial trouble, the same old addictions, the same old stuff. There are people in this place that have had 100 bad experiences, yet you have learned nothing. Don't point at nobody. If I do this, this is result. Maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, Pastor, every time I do this, this happens. Why don't you reflect that naught plus naught equals this? Reflections turns experience into insight. Reflections turns experiences into insight. If you don't reflect on the close of the day, you can't make tomorrow any better. Did you hear that part? You can't make tomorrow any better if you don't reflect on the events of today. Jabez didn't just accept what mama said. No, I'm not going to be pain. How did Jabez change from bitter to sweet? Are you ready? I'm going to give you three things one more time, and I'm done. I'm not going to preach long on it. Number one, this is going to be mind-blowing. You probably never thought about this. One, prayer. He prayed an honorable prayer. See, most of our prayer deals with God giving us stuff. God, my name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. God, give me a new car. God, straighten out my spouse. God, straighten up my kids. God, help me not to kill my kids. God, I'm not going to ask you for strength, because if I ask you for strength, then I'm going to need bail money. We just ask God for stuff, right? But he prayed an honorable prayer. He didn't pray for temporary things. He said, bless me indeed. But not with stuff. He needed a blessing. He didn't pray for a blessing of material things. He prayed that he, Jabez, will be a blessing. Jabez understood that if he was blessed, he would be able to bless others and everything that he touches. When you're not honorable, you pray for carnal things. Bless me with a car. Bless me with a bigger house. Bless me with a bigger paycheck. Bless me with a new pair of shoes. Bless me with a matching pocketbook. Bless me, Lord. Bless me. Bless me. But here's what Jabez said. When he said, bless me, he said, bless my mind. Bless my understanding. Bless my focus. Bless my desires so I will want the right things. Did you hear that? Bless me, God. that I will want the right things. And then that was number two. Bless me. So that I will want the right things. Then here comes number three. Keep me from evil. In Genesis chapter 4, God told Cain that sin waiteth at the door. One translation said he crouches at the door. Man, in this world that we live, there's no way you can get away from evil. Everywhere you turn. Well, that's why I don't watch TV, but you got a computer. You can't walk into Winn-Dixie without evil around you. You sure can't walk into Walmart without evil around you. You can't go nowhere that evil's not around you. So Jabez didn't say, keep evil from me, because that's not possible. Evil's everywhere. You can come in here, I have felt the Holy Spirit this morning, but I can walk out of this door and evil's going to be outside the door. Matter of fact, more than likely, if I stick around long enough today, there might be somebody evil in here coming. Come see me. But here's what he said, keep me from evil. I can't keep evil from me, but God, you can keep me from evil. Because it's virtually impossible to stay away from evil. It's all around us. But Jabez's prayer was, keep me from evil. What do you mean? Keep me from engaging it. Keep me from walking into it. Keep me from diving into it. Keep me from evil. And if you'll keep me from evil, I won't cause pain. Why? Because I'm blessed. Can I tell you? When you're blessed, people like to be around blessed people. I'm not talking about things. Just look. When you're just blessed on the inside, don't point at nobody, but everybody knows negative people. I only have a limited amount of time for those people. I'm not giving everybody my phone number. I had one guy leave the church because he said, Pastor, can I have your cell phone number? I go, for what? Pastor, I can't believe you asked. No. We got 700 people up here. For what? He said, I just might want to call and talk sometime. I go, no. Because I know you. Some of y'all right now, I got Pastor's phone number. Don't be telling nobody. Because you call me complaining all the time, I'll block you too. Have you called an office? Is this ugly? I kind of feel a little ugly right now. I told you I was going to get sweet. I started out so well, didn't I? But that's just real life, right? If I had everybody calling me, giving me all their evil, I couldn't take it. So I have a limited, that's why I don't go to the doctor every day. Well, your blood pressure up. It was fine when I left the house. It's y'all. See, thank you, Holy Spirit. I know y'all can't believe it. The Holy Ghost just shut my mouth on something. Keep me from it. From bitterness to sweet. Would you stand to your feet in this place? Listen, if there's any meanness in you, trust me, the holidays are going to bring it out. Standing in line to check out is not spiritual warfare. I don't understand. I was at Walmart on Black Friday. Two checkouts open. Are you kidding me? They had the self-checkout. At tax time, I went to get my W-2 form from them. I'm my own cashier there. I need a check. How many want to go from bitterness to sweet? Now, I don't know if you've had fun. I've had fun preaching this. But this is real talk. This is truth. And sometimes I understand that medicine goes down better when it's sweet. When it's laughable. But there are real issues and real problems in our lives. And if you're in this place today, I want you to bow your heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just for a moment, I need an usher to close them outside doors. Tom, close those. Or there you go. Somebody get it. Close those outside doors. They're distracting me right now. Squirrel. You're in this place. And as much as I've had fun preaching this, I know it's a serious matter. That you just can't get over what's been done. You can't get over how you was raised. But right now, between me, you, and the Lord, at this point in time, I'm not going to ask you to come up right now. Between me, you, and the Lord, would you just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. But I'm going to move all hands all over this building. There are hands all over this building. So now you're not alone. We want everybody to just take both your hands and raise them to the Lord. And say, Lord, help me change my focus. I don't want to be bitter anymore. I don't want to be that person. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the Lord, I just sense in the spirit realm that there's an incident that happened that changed you from being the life of the party, in a sense, to being hurt and broken. And I speak to that soul just as an act of obedience. Well, let me ask you this first question first. If you don't know Jesus and you need to ask him into your life, would you just wave your hand at me and you can put it right back down? Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.